It's our school of prayer again, so we'll continue learning, and the issue of patience is what I want to continue to look at today. Last time I began to speak about not turning the switch of faith off, to be sure that the switch of faith is constantly turned on. We said that is very important, and I took the foundation for that from the story that Kennedy Hagin told. His teaching that he gave from the book of John chapter 4, when a man came to the Lord Jesus for the healing of his son, and then the Lord, of course, told the man, go, your son is okay, and the man left, and then now later on he asked, at what time did that boy start getting well? The emphasis being that the boy began to recover. He didn't just immediately get well. There was a process to what was happening. There was a process to it. That is the result of what release of the power of God that went into his life. What I want to emphasize again today is along that line. If you read, let's just take a text of scripture so that we read it. The book of Hebrews chapter 6, one we refer to all the time. He said in verse 9, but beloved, verse 12 is where I'm going. I just backed up a few verses so as to get some context, all right? He said, but beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you. He had spoken about people who go away from the faith and all of that. And they were not talking about going on to maturity. He said, you people are not like that. Verse 9, but beloved, we are convinced of better things concerning you and things which accompany salvation, though we are speaking in this way. For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. Please, I want you to note that. That is, there is what you did it, and you are still doing it. In having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I wanted to notice something here. They inherited the promises because of their works. True or false? Jesus Christ. I said they inherited the promises because of their works. True or false? So why did you say true in the first place? You see, it's not your fault. You've been sowing seeds, that's why. That is what the problem is. When Christians own their tone of my friends, I said, the seed is the word of God. He looked at me like, what do you mean? I'm serious. He didn't find it funny. When I said, the seed is the word of God, like, what do I mean? That all this offering has been given. Am I trying to say that the thing will not count? I said, boy, the seed is the word of God. The Lord is good. Now, can we go back and focus? Don't do that again. Amen. You scare me when you do things like that. All right? Now, he said in verse... where were we? All right. So, he says so that we will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. I said that they inherited the promises not by their works, but by what? By faith coupled with what? Patience. Those are the reasons why they inherited the promises. Faith and patience. I want us to bear that in mind. Now, there's a reason why I read this, and we'll just continue where we stopped last time. Remember, I was explaining that what is important is that we persist in faith. You know, when we're talking about the matter of prayer, it's not every time that God gives instantaneous results. It's not every time. That's why we refer to that. And I quoted something that Ken Hagin said, that the problem is that people now turn off the switch of faith. Patience can be defined. Let me define patience today. Is when a believer keeps the switch of faith turned on. That's what patience is. Until the fellow sees the result, the switch of faith is turned on. That is what we call patience. Please bear that in mind. Now, there is something, I was preaching when was that? Was it this week or last week? Last week. Okay, last week I was in Asaba. I preached a message. It was interesting. You know, sometimes when you are speaking, inspiration just comes upon you. I believe it was the Holy Spirit. And it just helps you to say something. And I want to use that as an illustration today. Although what I want to say is, I'm still going to say what I want to say, but I want to use that as a kind of foundation or a good explanation, illustration. You know, it came to my mind as I was teaching. If you get the message I preached in Asaba, we have it around. You can listen to it. It will bless you also. I preached on in union with Christ, okay? But there's something I said that which I want to say here again, very interesting. Now, how many people here have used an ATM machine before? ATM machine. All right, we've all used it before. Let's walk through the process. When you put in your card, what the president tells you? Welcome. Please enter your secret number. Yeah, that's one that I want to hear. He said, please enter what? Your secret number. And you press your code, assuming it's 1111. You know, you go it 1111. The next thing it tells you is what? No, the next voice, that is next time. He said, do what? Wait while your transaction is processing. Very good. That's my message for today. Tell your neighbor, wait while your transaction is processing. Tell somebody and say, wait while your transaction is processing. Now, of course, we know the way it goes. Normally, you put in your card. You put in your secret, like you say, please enter your secret number. Let's work the process out for those who may not be used to Nigerians' ATM system. When you get there, you put in your card, your debit card, your credit card. Most of our cards are debit cards. And then it tells you, please enter your secret number. That's your code. That's your PIN. All right? You put it in. Then the display screen now tells you, do you want to make a withdrawal? You want to check your balance? You want to transfer something? You know, there are different functions you can perform. You see on the screen. So you now say, I want to make a withdrawal. It tells you, select the amount. You select the amount, 10,000 naira. And that tells you, wait. You hear the voice. Please wait while your transaction is processing. Then you hear the machine grinding. You normally hear it. Then after a few seconds, suddenly, boom, the teeth below opens. You understand? The mouth there opens. And then your money sticks out. Then you pick it. Tells you, please, do you want to do another transaction? You say yes or no. If you say no, he'll tell you, please take your card. He first tells you to take your cash. Then you take your card and you go. That's how it goes, just for those who may not be used to our own system here. But my message is from when he says, wait while your transaction is processing. Now, this is the point. Of course, when you are drawing money, you are drawing from an account. That ATM never asks you who put the money in. It doesn't. All it knows is that the account is funded. For example, I could give my son, maybe he has an account and he's going to school. I could credit him. If he needs money, I credit the account. They use the ATM to go and withdraw the money. Nobody's going to ask him, are you the one that put money inside there? It doesn't matter. All right? And I want to also understand that when it comes to our accounts spiritually, the account that God has for us, we are not the ones that put things inside. It is God in heaven that credits our account. And I want to say our secret number, of course, our own is figures, is a name. It's spelled J-E-S-U-S, and we all know that. So we ask in his name. We want to draw from our heaven's account. We don't come, at any time you mention what you have done, why you should get that money dispensed to you, it's going to tell you incorrect PIN. Because if you go in there and press, I gave a tithe, I must prosper, God will say, you smoke something, you are not going to prosper. You understand what I'm going to say? That's what he's going to tell you. If you say, I gave a special seed, therefore you are going to multiply it. He say, I am not multiplying you, multiplying it, go and call the police if you like to do that. All right? He will not answer you. Forget all these lies we tell all the time when we are not conversant with the truth. God doesn't bless us and multiply things to us just because of what we did. What he does, Jesus said that if you ask anything, how do you do it? In my name. When you come in there, you press in the name Jesus. It is based upon what he did that God supplies your needs. Please follow what I'm going to say very closely, because last time I talked about keeping the switch of faith turned on. Very important that we understand it. So, now Paul was explaining here that, now we're reading here from this book of Hebrews chapter 6. Now please bear that in mind, before I even go back there. Now, so we use the name of Jesus alone. We don't use any other PIN. We don't use any other secret number. We don't use any other password. Our password is Jesus. Our password is the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross. Our password is what he did for us. Our password is the shed blood of Calvary. That's our password. So when we use the name Jesus, we are saying, God, we are drawing on this account, not because of what we did, but because of what he did for us. He now says, fine. Having said that, the next thing the Lord tells you is, wait while your transaction is processing. That's what I'm going to emphasize. Tell your neighbor again, wait. While your transaction is processing. Because that's what the Bible tells us here. It said it is those who with faith. I forgot to mention. The card is faith. Your ATM card is faith. That is what you slot into that machine. It is faith. You put in your secret number, your PIN, your secret password. And that is the name of Jesus Christ. And then it now says, wait. You put in your faith. You put in the name of Jesus. Then it says you have to have patience if you are going to inherit the promises. And what we call patience, our ATM machine in Nigeria will tell you, wait while your transaction is processing. And our message today is we must keep the switch of faith turned on. You will not put in your card, you put in the correct PIN, and then you suddenly, your friend now says, Israel, come, let's go. You now run away. Did they do like that? Never. You are waiting for the machine. He says, the machine is not working, let's go. It's grinding. It says, wait while your transaction is processing. Are you going anywhere? No. As long as that grinding is going on, you are standing there. If you like, grind for 1 minute. We will stand here. And that's what is expected. You wait while your transaction is what? Processing. And that is what the Bible is saying. With faith, our faith haven't gone in, must have patience added to it. Last time I was explaining that sometimes people don't understand how God is going to answer, a prayer. So it doesn't come one particular way. They switch off, you understand, the faith. So they don't get what he's saying. Now remember what I said? Faith must persist. Faith must be present until the end. Except faith is present until the end, we lose out entirely. Except faith is present until the end, we lose out entirely. Don't forget what we said last time, that Peter, if he had stayed in the boat, he would have been safer. But once he stepped out of the boat, even though God was working a miraculous thing in his life, he must not turn his eyes away. Listen, whatever you are doing in life, you know, there's something I learned recently, that faith is very contagious. Unbelief, we talked about it. Remember, fight against unbelief? Unbelief is very, very contagious. It's very powerful. When the Bible says, guard your heart, all right? You must guard your heart. No one needs to guard it. You block it from everything that will wear down the faith. If you are making a decision based on faith, and you are sure it is faith, not just presumption, how do you know it's faith? It's born of interaction with the Word of God. It's not born out of your personal desire. If it's just your own personal desire, I don't know. It may be faith, it may not be faith. But if something is born out of interaction with the Word of God, then that one is faith. If you are making a decision based on that, listen to this. Until the full manifestation of what you are expecting, keep your faith guarded. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs chapter 4, guard your heart with all diligence. Literally, it means guard it above all that is guarded. Guard it more than you guard your brand new car. Guard it more than you guard, maybe you manage to keep $10,000 in the house, you want to hide it. Guard it more than all of that. Guard it more than your precious metals. He said, because from it flows forth the issues of life. When I say guard it, what I mean is this. Don't be discussing your intimate details with people that are of unbelief. Are you getting my point? If your mother now worry, you know what they call warrior. She they worry, that is, you worry, you worry herself. Don't call her and be discussing details. Simply say, I am fine. So what are you doing about this? About that? We are handling it very well. Guard your heart. Listen, Bible says, don't cast your pearls before swine. Do you understand my point? If you listen to that man, I refer to him all the time, Kenneth Hagin. He says something that the Lord showed him something once. That he healed a man, all right? And told him, don't go back into the city. That was Bethsaida. This man was blind. They brought the man to him. He led the man out of the city. After praying for the man, he laid hands on the man. He told the man, can you see? The man said, I see men as trees. He said, wait, let's do it again. He laid hands on the man again. One man I listened to many years ago, he said, what Jesus did was, first prayer was to calibrate the anointing. If you've done some science, you know what I'm talking about. No chemistry, that area. He said, when the man first laid hands on the man, He said, well, what did you see? What's happening? He said, I see men as trees. He said, Jesus gauged that, all right, this man needs more anointing. So he calibrated the release and then delivered another dose, and the man began to see clearly. Now, the message is this. After that, he told the guy, don't go back into the city. You know why he told him not to go back into the city? Because if he did, the man would have gone blind. I'm not discussing that now. I know it to be true. The Lord showed him by revelation what really happened. Okay, but I also know it to be true. The man would have gone blind. He would have sunken back, all right? He would have, what's the correct English? Anyway, he would have fallen back into... there will be no confusion. All right. He will have sunk back into his blindness if he had gone back into the city. And that's a matter of fact. Can I get to the story in that message I was listening to of a man that was totally paralyzed, couldn't move. They brought him to his meeting and he prayed for the man. I don't know whether it's instantly or after some time, the man recovered totally. But he was going to a church where they said the days of miracles have passed. Then when his pastor came to visit at home. He got up, walked to the door, opened the door for the pastor, and sat down. By the time the pastor finished, that man couldn't get up from that chair, and he died in that condition. By the time the pastor finished explaining to him that the days of miracles have passed, the man wore out his faith entirely. That man was back to the state where he was just a few days ago because a man came and talked to him. There's one mistake we Christians have made. Those are the ones who started learning about faith. They tell you that just go and be giving your testimony recklessly. Be declaring. Listen, your declaration is between you and God. Are you getting my point? You don't owe anybody. Especially if you want to declare to people of faith. All these unbelievers, leave them alone. Over what is going on, it is well. What do you mean by it is well? It means ITISWELL. It is well. You can't spell it. What do you mean it is well? When it is well, you will see it. By the way, are you not going somewhere? Let the man go in his own direction. You can't be taking steps of faith. You are discussing with an unbeliever. They will wear out your faith. And my emphasis is that if the faith gets worn out, you will sink. When you are waiting for your transaction to process, be careful who you are speaking with. That's why, listen, I don't know how you want to survive. Say any Christian, say, I'm just a good Christian. I'm staying in my house all by myself. The fellow is not serious. And the fellow has television. He has radio. He has phone. You are not in this world. It's difficult to be all by yourself. It's very hard. Because even if you don't want to talk to anybody, Calamity's News Network will talk to you. They will talk to you. You know Calamity's News Network, CNN. They will talk to you. They will show all the bad things happening in the world. By the time they finish describing your environment, you won't know. In fact, you will come out, you'll be afraid. Some of my friends, when we were talking, they are from East here, Eastern Nigeria here. They can't come home. They fear. So we'll talk on the phone. What is going on? He said, no, I heard the kidnapping is serious. I said, but we are living here. Every time you talk to me, I'm not answering from a kidnapper's den. I said, look, just come home and work normally. Don't put a badge on your head. Yeah, I got $10,000 in my pocket. Man, who wants to see something? Huh? Do you understand? Just move around normally. You know the reason? Because we have a meeting today now. We are learning the word of God. We are going to go home. Nobody will report in the news. You live your life normally. I was trying to explain. It doesn't make the news. All right? It doesn't. But even those who are calling those abroad, they don't call them that. Oh boy, thank God though. Power is very constant. I've not used my generator in the last, They don't say things like that. But have you heard every bad news they report? Those things wear out faith. So you can't just be alone by yourself. What you need is to make sure you are in a community of people that believe. It's very important. Ken Hagin said after he was raised up, all right, from his deathbed, he looked for a church that believed in miracles. His own church did not believe in it. Every time they call somebody to come and pray with him, all the person said that, "Don't worry, my boy, your life will soon be over. That all these your pains and suffering will soon end, you will soon die." They didn't use my exact words, but they said something similar. Okay, let me give the literal words. He said, "Have patience, my boy, it will all soon be over." And the man supposed, and he asked the man to come and answer a question that, "Does God heal today?" When he finally got healed by praying and believing God by himself, when he got up from there, he found himself in a church where they believe. He didn't like the Pentecostals because he was brought up not to like them. He said, "But at least they believe in divine healing." He said, I will cope with every other thing. I will manage. When they're speaking in tongues, I'll close my ears." He didn't believe in speaking in tongues. He said, "But at least they won't tell me that I'm out of my mind for saying that God raised me up from my deathbed." You know, one of the things I've learned these days is not to assume that it will have happened anyway, that the good will have happened. No. If they had worn out his faith, you and I would never have heard of him today. And it scares me to realize that there were people like that, that somebody took their faith away, and we never heard their stories. It's not a joke. You have to guard your faith. Go and listen to that series again, The Fight Against Unbelief. There are times you quarrel with people. Quarrel, physical quarrel. "Don't talk to me again." "Yes, I won't talk to you." You quarrel with somebody, including family members. "So are you not going home Christmas? What am I going home to do? So that when I come back in January, my faith will be dead." He said, "It is only those who through faith and patience inherit what? The promises." Like I was emphasizing earlier, let's go back there. I was emphasizing earlier that the patience is very important. So what do we do while our transaction is processing? That's what I'm trying to explain. Now remember, let's go back to that Hebrews chapter 10, where we had a bit of confusion earlier. He said, "For God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name in having ministered and in still ministering to the saints. And we desire that each one of you show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance of hope until the end, so that you will not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience inherit the promises." There's a reason why I read it again, to point out something. That these people, which was why some of us were confused earlier, these people inherit the promises through faith and what?
Patience.
Let me hear it again.
Patience.
Through what?
Faith and patience.
They inherited the promises through faith and patience. However, when they said imitate them, did you notice what they said they should imitate? It's interesting. If you look in context, it is surprising when I say this. He did not directly say imitate their faith and imitate their patience. He said they inherited through faith and patience. But you, now please try and follow me closely. Look at verse 10. He said, "There's work that you are doing and the love you have shown in his name, toward his name, in ministering to him, that you minister to the saints and you are still ministering." He said, "We want every one of you," verse 11, "to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance." What is that diligence he was telling them? The ministering to the saints. True of us? Is there? He said, "When you do that, you are an imitator of those who..." This is the interesting part. There's a small twist there. You are, by doing that, you are imitating those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. That's my message. What do you do while you are being patient? What do you do while you are waiting for your transaction to process? I'll explain it to you. This is a very good balance many of us may have needed to hear. We first established that we are not inheriting by our works. Amen?
Amen.
We are inheriting by our faith. Our faith with patience. The sign of faith, I've said it again and again, the sign of faith is the good works that somebody is doing.
Are you getting my point? If you see a man who tells you that, let me put like this. If you see a believer who doesn't do good works, no matter plain how sweet he or she talks, he doesn't have faith. The fellow does not have faith, because the fact is that anyone with faith, James said it, that the way you know faith is in the heart is the kind of work it produces outside. This is my practical tip in that area. While we are waiting for our transaction to process, that is when our ability to do good works is manifested. This is the problem. This is where Christians make the mistake. They think I am inheriting because of my works. No, I am not inheriting because of my works. I am inheriting because of my faith. Because of my faith and my patience. But listen, it is very difficult, and God didn't ordain us like that, to stand and do nothing. That's why I explained before, that if we say you are waiting for God, what it means is that you are busy doing the work of waiting. Remember those people that the Lord gave talents or minas, depending on the words you are reading. Like in Luke chapter 19, he said, be occupied until I come. He gave them a job, occupy with this until I come. I like to read it like this. Be occupied with this until I come. If you see any man saying he's believing God for breakthrough and abundance, ask, what are you doing now? He says nothing. Say, you are lying. You are not believing. Did you hear what I said? I believed God that one day I want to make a million every weekend. Hallelujah. Amen. So right now, what are you making every weekend? I'm waiting. Doing what? Nothing. So boy, you will wait like this and die in poverty. It will never happen. Do you hear what I said? I have found out that lazy people like to believe God. I don't know whether you get my point. Yes. He's lazy. She's lazy. Say, I'm believing God. She's not believing anything. Because if the fellow was really walking in faith, he would be busy ministering. I don't know whether I get my point. He would be busy doing the work. Sometimes people say that, oh God. Say, Pastor, God bless you. One day God will bless me. I will have a million. I'm just going to give you money. Don't say it. Just I'm laughing at you. Daddy, don't tell me something like that. She says, one day I'm going to bless you in this life. You have been a blessing to me. I'll just be looking at you. He says, sir, I'm going to be a blessing to you. Then you bring out the expensive phone. You make a call. One day, sir, I'm going to bless you. Enter your car, drive away. I'll just be laughing. Who are you fooling? You are waiting to become a billionaire before you give me something. I'll just be laughing. In my mind, I'll be laughing. I don't even laugh anymore. I don't have the time. It costs me too much to laugh. Those days, you just be laughing. Some people be there and say, oh, this my uncle has been a blessing to me. One day. No, the guy told you that 10 years ago. I give this example I like to give. The first thing I gave my father, my earthly father, when I started walking, was the pack of Hing's men's briefs. You know what I'm saying? Comes with singlets and briefs, the men's underwear. I still remember very well. Why? That was all I could afford. But I was busy doing it. I don't know whether I get my point. I was what? Busy doing it. If you see anybody come and be singing plenty songs for you, don't worry, just marry me first. After you marry me, one day I will break through. I will buy anything you want. Don't be looking at a guy like this. He's been telling this story for 6 months. In these 6 months, he has never bought a recharge card. In these 6 months, your birthday don't come two times. There are different kinds of birthdays now. Are you getting my point? I've never given you any gift, nothing. Just know he's lying. Don't marry him. Say, sir, yes, I said don't marry him. Or marry him and get ready for it. He is not going to change. even when he becomes rich, he will not change. You know me, I'm not saying you go and look for a rich man tomorrow. Is that what I said? I never said so. It is acceptable according to what a man has. After all, you don't have money. You go to work. You eat groundnut. That groundnut, tight on it. Give me a tight. You understand? Cut a portion of it and say, ah, my dear sister, I'm coming from work and I thought that this akinokwa would look good on you. Do you get what I'm saying? It's 50 naira for goodness, okay, 100 naira at most. Don't wait for, don't be telling me you buy me gold when you are rich, when right now you can't buy me ukwa. Who are you fooling? Those who are truly waiting, there is what they do while their transaction is processing. That's what I'm trying to explain. There is what they do while their transaction is processing. That's what I do. They were saying that I'm waiting for God. They are not waiting. Abraham waited for Isaac for 25 years in that period. Do you know how rich the man became? In that period, do you know how many other people's children he raised? Go and check it. There were servants born in his house. Trained them to be warriors. The man was great. He was not even the one that said, what are you doing? God said we should wait that one day. Oh, one day is coming. Then I hear those kind of stories. There is that, one day, I'm going to treat you very nice. If you look at the fellow, I'm just be laughing. Why? He said, right now, I'm still poor. The poor man is eating. He's changing clothes. Changing phone, changing resource, and he just believes that one day. Tell the fellow, that day is not coming. Why? You are not walking in faith and patience. You are lying. For you to say somebody is patient, it has tangible manifestations. And those things are the outward works. And that's why he said here, he said, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and your love which you showed to his name. In that you ministered and you are still ministering. And I don't want any one of you to forget this. All right? He said, I want you to show the same diligence so as to realize the full assurance. Do not be sluggish. But be imitators of those who through faith and patience. He was not specifically saying here, imitate their faith, imitate their patience. He was saying, imitate their works. They received their inheritance through faith and patience. That's where Christians, you know, this is where we pastors have not balanced things well, and Christians get confused. You see people who don't have faith, they are not walking in patience, but they heard the story that a woman gave her last meal and the food never finished. So you know what they all do? They all queue up, no faith in their hearts. People like that normally do one good work. One. It is targeted. It's not a continuous thing. It's targeted. It's not continuous. You see this one? He said, they ministered to the saints, and they are still ministering. You see that they had the habit of what? Ministering. That is why I make bold to say, I'm not joking about it, when I wrote that book, Great Faith Can Be Yours, you can download it free from our website, PDF format. That was what I was trying to explain to people. That I am sure of how come, I am sure of why, that's what I had to say, Elijah got to the door of that woman. The widow of Zarephath was there. Elijah got to her door and he said, give me your last meal. The woman said, I have enough for two people. Me and my son are going to eat it. He said, give me half of it. But hear the word of the Lord, the food will never finish. That is the mistake we make. A lot of us preachers who want to raise money. When I said, Christians, you are going to give your last meal. You are going to close your account. You are going to do everything because your miracle is about to come and all of that. You forget one thing. There were many widows in Israel. To none of them was Elijah sent. That man was sent. There's a reason why he got to her door. I make bold to say, that's why I say I'm certain of it. It was because she had been ministering to the poor. Are you getting my point? Hungry people had come before when there was no famine. They ate. She did not start giving the day Elijah came. She gave before when there was no Elijah. When there was no prophet, she gave. She did not start practicing giving the day Elijah arrived. That was why it was easy for her to give to Elijah. She continued her works, and I'm certain also that she prayed to God, cried to God in her distress. The sign of her faith was that she was always giving before. Many of us, we don't have our faith. And because we don't have our faith, we don't have the manifestation of our habit. Someone now says, do one good work and you will get the miracle of the widow of Zarephath. And 99% of Christians that do it don't get anything. Why? Because only 1% really have faith. And occasionally you will find the 1% that truly has faith. And because of the faith they actually have, they get a result. You know what we do? We now put that person on the stage as proof that our wrong principle works. And then, of course, you know, if you want to be deceived in life, you will be deceived. If you don't want to be deceived, there's abundance of truth for you to use for deliverance. Just by the way, because I keep on teaching like this, people will listen to this so that I can get the understanding. This is the fact. All right? This is how to handle it. How do you ensure that you are not deceived in life? It's simple. Never give because of what you are going to get. It is simple. If a man of God comes and says, I want 10 people to give him 1 million, and by next week all of them will be billionaires. Once all you can see is billionaire, you won't get a cobble. Your million is going. It will not come back. God won't refund you. The devil won't refund you. Nobody will refund you. But if you look and say, 10 people, 10 million, you tap your neighbor, what's going on? You know the church building, the last storm, it knocked out one big tree that collapsed against a major supporting pillar. The structural engineer said, if we don't spend that 10 million by next week, the whole building will collapse. He said, yeah. Why didn't he say so? Are you getting my point? Then you now struggle, strain, put in your money because you don't want that building to collapse. Or because they tell you, somebody needs a kidney transplant somewhere, you know? That kind of thing. See, and he's the only son of the mother. And she's a widow. You know, this kind of Bible story. Say, hey, is that why they need the money? Then you give it. Are you seeing what I'm doing? I'm focusing your mind on the need. The good thing about that is that if you don't get anything, you don't notice. As long as you get the result from where the money went. Those are the kinds of people that God blesses. Wait while your transaction is what? Processing. What's my emphasis there? My emphasis is that people who are waiting, they are busy. And that's the realm, that is the significance of the doing of good works in the life of Christians. And that is why our testimonies get confused sometimes. All right? People say that, no, somebody did good work and look at what he got. Once that motivates you, you will not get anything. This is what gets something for us believers in Christ Jesus. It is our what? Faith and patience. That is how people inherit the promises. But here the Bible tells us that while we are waiting, tell your neighbor again, wait.
Wait.
Your transaction is processing. It is very important that we learn to wait. I said something earlier, I need to say it again. If you see a man telling you that I'm believing God for a job, and what he has in mind, all right, is big business. Sorry, a big work that pays a lot. And you ask him, so what are you doing now? He say, I'm waiting. So, bros, you've been waiting for 6 months. Whose food are you eating? I stay with my mother. You are eating her food. You are a young man. I call you Karufi, you understand? You have muscle. You can work. You cannot go to timber and go and carry cement because you are a university graduate. You are eating your mother's pension money. This is how people get sore throat. Tomorrow you are eating fresh fish. The bone sticks somewhere. You think it is a bone. No. One angel is telling you, don't eat. Or your younger brother is struggling somewhere, sending your mother something, and you are sitting down here and eating it. Why? You are believing God. I've seen clowns like that many times. I have seen. I remember once, I've told the story a number of times. The day they told me that, do I know that man is almost 40 years of age? At that time, I was like 23. 24. And I was hustling in Lagos. Going to work, jumping bus. A 40-year-old man was believing God for a big contract. He wasn't earning any money. So I told my aunt, I said, why don't you help me? He said, the money for work is too small. That when he gets a big job, booza. And he can now do things. All the days I knew him, he did not get anything. I've seen people, they want to do business. First business they want to do, oil and gas. You know, you start laughing. You ask him, which kind of oil? Is it palm oil or vegetable oil? Because it cannot be crude oil. This is why these people start stealing. This is why they join cults. One of the biggest indigenous oil marketing companies in Nigeria, oil company in Nigeria, I don't know whether it's marketing or I think they also do drilling and all of that. One of the biggest. All right? The boys were selling shirts in Victoria Island. That's what I was told. It was shirts they were selling. You know what I mean? Shirt. To big men. You're welcome, sir. What will be your size? Your neck size. They measure the neck. All right, I think we have Van Heusen. You like this? I think the boy's an architect or something. I don't know. But he's a well-educated man. But he said that, man, the way to make this thing, man must trade. They looked for shop. And they were selling shirts. It was why they were selling shirts. That's the gist I heard. Somebody said, oh boy, come. Those who make big money, it's not like this. He said, sir, what do you mean? Come, see me in the office. Okay, we have this kind of job. This is what you do. Somebody coached him on that. Before they knew what was happening, they moved from one level to another, to another. And then one day, they broke through. This life, you can never make yourself rich. I hope you get my point. It's not possible. It's not possible. If you work too hard, you die very hard. You wake up one morning, oh, you don't go hustle. You'll collapse one day, die. So don't think that people get there. It's not muscle. That's why I say, occupy until I come. One day he will come. Many people are waiting. They are not occupied, and they think he will come. These boys, from what I was told, like I said, I don't have that's why I can't give the details, because I don't have it myself. But the story somebody told me is that it was shirts. Measuring shirts. I'm not trying to say that, anyway, let me not even, I could have told you all kinds of stories. But let me not even go there, so it will take a lot of my time. Tell your friend, tell your brother, that your cousin that says he's believing God, tell him he's not believing anything. That Pastor, once you finish here, put on your phone. Call him. That Pastor Banks, I should tell you, you are not believing anything. You hear what I said? Once this meeting is over, pick your phone. That's your lazy brother that speaks in tongues. Yeah, that's what they do, speak in tongues. That guy was telling the story. If you heard that guy speaking in tongues, I'm not joking. The rest of the house used to gather to laugh when he's praying. Bring forth some bubbles, you understand, of tongues. Walk now. He's waiting for big contracts. Last time I was saying, listen, don't lock God on one area. This guy was waiting for big contracts. All the days I knew him, he never got it. If you see any man that says he has faith and is lazy, tell him that he is lazy, he doesn't have faith. That his faith is a cover for his laziness. Sit down, do nothing, say you are believing God. Those who are truly believing God, they are busy with the assignment of today. They just hate this concept of doing nothing. Say it's not paying much, but at least I'm busy. I'm helping somebody. Because except I'm helping somebody, I am not following the example of those who inherited with faith and patience. He said, listen, you have to be ministering to the saints, even though you have already ministered. You must not stop ministering. The brother that carried us to Port Harcourt last time, I went to go and preach. He's managerial staff in the company where he works. He told me that, so you know, remember one guy who said, he came here at night. He finished message, 8 p.m. was driving to Port Harcourt. You know why? He was driving to Port Harcourt at 8 p.m. He was a driver. Did you hear what I said? He was a driver in the company. So driving was, he was used to driving. This one where I said, he was used to Port Harcourt. He said, he's used to driving. He's not driving. Let's go. He said, he just weighed it. This company pays their drivers more than all this hustle. Where are they hustle? Now the guy go there, go. He go join the company. He was there when a managerial position opened. He applied. Same company took him from being a driver, put him as managerial staff. And I remember he was telling us the story that somebody told him not to bother. Who does he know? Does he know this one? He said, I lie. I'm going to apply. So that's when he came to Enugu. We were worried that how can he be driving to Enugu? He came here to attend Bible study. When he finished, I'm going back to Port Harcourt. I said, wait. It's to 8. We won't go to Port Harcourt and say, he's used to driving. But now he's management staff. The Lord is good. When you finish, pick your phone. What did I say? Call that your cousin. That says that he's believing God for breakthrough. And he's eating your mother's food. Tell her and say, just prophesy to him that yesterday, remember, you ate fish, it got stuck in your throat. Thus says the Lord. If you eat again, how can you be taking your mother's pension money? You are 20-something. If your mother gives you food, you reject it. Say, let me die in righteousness. When I get to heaven, I say, God, why did you die? I say, Lord, I refused to eat when I did not walk. God say, good boy, you died in righteousness. And you know, thank God for fathers, amen? I know there are fathers like that, but I can't remember seeing one. It's mothers that cause the problem. Mothers, they will keep on bringing the money. Fathers will call and say, boy, come. Oh, thank God for fathers. Mothers go to pamper you, they go. Is he old man? Is he be giving him money? Fathers will come. I told one of my friends, I told the story before. He graduated from school. He started a house job. He's a doctor. Generally, when you start working, for the first few months, you may not get paid. He went home. Go back to work. As going back to go and resume work, he now went and met his father. That please, he started working just about a month or two ago. They haven't paid him now. That doesn't have any money. That his father can find him something for transportation. The father said, okay. He said, that was at night. Next morning, he called him. He said, all the days you have been in this house, have you ever seen me go to my father's house to go ask for money? The boy was looking like, what are you talking about? He said, listen, my friend, I have done for you what a man is supposed to do for a son. You have graduated from school. I paid your fees. Now, oh boy, you are on your own. He was telling him the story. He said, oh boy, you won't believe it. He said, this man not give me anything. No. He had to go to his sister and say, I beg, go and borrow, because I need to transport myself back to where I came from. His sisters had to be looking for money they saved somewhere. You know, open under the dryer, you collect something. If not, maybe the sister, interest. My friend's father didn't give him a kobo. Somebody said, thank God for such fathers. You know why? They encourage your faith. These are men that encourage your faith. All the mothers that's giving a man, a boy, believing God, they are spoiling him. Remember what I said, though? Pick the phone, call that fellow, tell him you are not believing anything. If you were believing, you will be busy. That's the point I'm making. If you were believing, you will be busy. Not busy trying to get for yourself, saying that, no, I must be a blessing, I must be impacting somebody. That is what we do while our transaction is what? Processing. Because the fact is that the transaction is processing. Heaven's machine is grinding. Heaven's machine is grinding. We are putting our card, we are putting our password, which is the name of Jesus, and heaven's ATM is grinding. All it's telling us is wait while your transaction is what? Processing. And that's what I'm trying to explain today. That we must know how to wait. And Paul said to us here that this is how Christians wait. They are busy doing good. They are busy doing good. The inheritance is not because of the good they are doing. The inheritance is because of faith and patience. But the patience is manifested. The fact that the faith is working and they are waiting in patience is manifested in the fact that they are busy being a blessing. I hope you have gotten my point. I've concluded the message I wanted to preach last week. That was what I was explaining last week. I've now finished it today. I think if anything, I say more than this now. I hope I won't spoil it. No, I've said everything. The Lord is good. Tell your neighbor, wait. Your transaction is processing. Turn to somebody else, say, wait. Your transaction is processing. Say to the person again, wait. Your transaction is processing. Your miracle is about to happen. Let me say something to you. The word overnight success. Somebody said it's because the night has been long. I hope you get my point. Yes. Listen, what we are doing in life is preparing. God is not trying to harass anybody. He's trying to prepare us to be able to receive the thing that he wants to give. That's it. He's trying to prepare us to receive the thing that he wants to give. He is not trying to harass anybody. It's like, if I don't prepare you, you can't receive it. Every affliction, every trouble, every challenge, every trial in the life of a Christian is not ancestral curse, is not a witch, is not any occultist that's afflicting you. It's God is saying, while you are waiting, I have to train you so you'll be able to carry the blessing when I will bring that blessing into your life. This is how Christians pray. I said it before. Daniel prayed for 21 days before the angel arrived. Angel said, you were heard on the first day. Why did it take you 21 days? He said, somebody was withstanding me. Until Michael came, your archangel, the chief prince over your people. He said, then the question is that, why did Michael come late? Is it because Michael was busy? Michael doesn't go where God doesn't send him. So it was the Lord that sent him at that time. So why did it take the Lord 21 days to send Michael? He did not know they were fighting on the way. Those are the questions we ask. The Lord is not slow concerning his promises. We know. So why did it take him so long to release Michael? It is simple. There were certain things that Daniel had to say. There were certain prayers, certain preparations he had to make in that process of praying before the Lord would see it fit to release Michael. And that is what we call waiting as a believer. Last time I explained the fact that, listen, don't lock God to a particular way. You can't say that he must do it this way, otherwise it's not him. This is exactly what I want him to do. I said, don't do that. Don't do that. Ask God for exactly what you want. I say exactly now, if prosperity is the issue, ask him for prosperity. Don't ask him for a job in a particular company. Because there are companies that need to be created that have not yet been created. I already read one story today. I don't know where I was reading. I think it was on BBC World. About one Japanese-American who sold a particular, I think, security something. To Microsoft, but they said they cannot tell us how much because that's part of the agreement he made with Microsoft. He will not disclose the amount of the sales. Said this young man, all right, he decided that his parents came into the United States as immigrants. They couldn't speak English, but they wanted their child to have a very good life. So they labored hard to give the guy a good life. Listen to this. They insisted he must be a doctor. Ha! The boy, see, and he was a very brilliant guy. By the age of 10, he was already coding. Something to do in spare time. Somebody said, come, let me show you how to code. I started doing coding at the age of 10. brilliant, but the parents said, this boy, he must study medicine. So he went to school. I'm talking about don't lock on one thing. He went to school, studied medicine. When he finished, now he finished medicine. He told his parents, say, I'm not a doctor, right? Good. I've done that one for you. Can I now do my own? The parents didn't talk to him again. They were so disappointed. But the person writing the article said, but it's sure that they are forgiving him now. Why? Because he sold a company to Microsoft. I don't think he sold it for anything less than $100 million. Like in America, work morning, afternoon, and night, and die at the age of 60 as a neurosurgeon, you will not make $100 million. I mean, you can Google up the story. I didn't know I was going to tell the story, so I didn't memorize the guy's name. He sold, is a particular kind of fingerprint technology that he developed and sold to Microsoft. And they said, don't disclose how much we are paying. But I'm certain it's nothing less than $100 million US dollars. And the guy, of course, he goes back to Japan now to do a lot of work there to train young people and all of that. They said that his parents, it's not as if God spoke to the parents. That's I'm talking the story, telling the story about the parents. It's not as if God spoke to the parents, thy son that shall be a healer and shall be healing people. No. They just said that, look, be a doctor in this country, your life will be good. The boy said no. They turned out to fight. And because he's from a Japanese background, you know those Asians, they can be very strong family structure, you know. If an American, he will get up one day, pack a bag and leave the house. And his life will be ruined forever. You know that kind of thing. But this one, no, when you walk out on your father and your mother, what do you expect, you know? But this one, he obeyed the parents till the end. He said, all right, you want a doctor? I have given you a doctor. Can I go and do my own thing now? They were so unhappy with him, but by that time he was a man. He had fulfilled his promise to them. But then he now developed the thing that they were looking for. He gave them much more than it. And that's what I mean, that we must never limit God. Even though things are delaying, keep the switch of faith turned on. God works by a process. And those who are really waiting for God are busy being a blessing. I hope you get my point. Those who are really waiting for God are busy being a blessing. That's what Paul said to us there. I believe it was Paul that wrote that Hebrews chapter 6. They inherit because of their faith and their patience, but a sign that they are truly in faith and they are truly waiting is shown by how they were busy ministering, even though they have already ministered. It's a habit that they have. It's a sign of faith. God, the Lord helped me to understand this, and that's something I want Christians to understand. That is the role of good works in our faith. It's a sign of our faith. Anybody's not doing it, forget it. He doesn't believe anything. He's deceiving himself. Don't forget. Pick your phone. Call that your brother. It's usually boys that do it. No girls are not very good at that kind of tomfoolery. It's guys that will be believing God and speaking in tongues. Then you have spoken enough tongues, heaven has heard. The angel of your prosperity has been released. But now the angel said, Michael will not come to help me until you get up from where you are and go and show us signs of your faith, signs that you are walking in patience, signs that you are really actively believing because you are somewhere ministering, even though you have already ministered. I hope you get my point this evening. Let's rise to our feet so that we declare the word of God and we go. The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Tell your neighbor, wait. Your transaction is processing. If you notice, I'm emphasizing the fact that it is processing. Tell the fellow, it is processing. Say in the name of Jesus, your transaction is processing. Your miracle is processing. Your progress is processing. Your breakthrough is processing. That desire of your heart is processing. Begin to give the Lord thanks in your own words. Say, Lord, I thank you because my life, my miracle is processing. My ministry is processing. My family is processing. My business is processing. Give the Lord thanks in your own words. Declare, say, in the name of Jesus, my ministry is processing. My family is processing. My breakthrough is processing. My destiny is processing. Say, I am waiting because I know it is processing. My good thing is processing. Say, like you believe, say, my good is processing. My destiny is processing.
Process.
It's about to manifest.
Say,
I am waiting. Waiting in faith.
Waiting in
patience.
Busy.
Say, I'm busy.
I am busy.
Blessing somebody.
I am busy.
Ministering.
Ministering
the blessing of God
in
the life of somebody else.
I am waiting
while my miracle is processing. Let me just say something quickly. Say, in this country, in this country, good is processing. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
I want to say it again. Good is processing.
Amen.
Don't wait for it to finish processing before you start. You will start too late. Are you getting my point? Make sure you are... Listen. I just feel like explaining that briefly. There's a key to becoming financially successful in life. One, there's no hurry. Amen?
Amen.
One day, a young man went to preach. I said, there are keys to these things. He said, sir. Olayinka is laughing because he was there that day. He said, sir, can you just quickly give me two of those keys? And I told him simply, number one is diligence. Number two is patience. Ah, the boy looked like, we know this once now. He didn't say it like that, but I saw the disappointment in his face. Listen, you cannot give one single offering, do one single thing, and your life will just only change. Unless your life was already changing. And that became the final straw that broke the camel's back. I hope you're getting my point. I'm going to teach again to Christians. If you listen to me on radio talking about this, Moses said, blessed shall you be in the field. And I explained that field. I like the way Englishman has adapted it. If somebody sees me on the road and I say, what's your field? You know what it means. I say, what do you do? Where are you skilled? Where do we need services and your name comes to mind? And Moses said, that is where you will be blessed. Blessed shall you be in the field.
Amen.
Listen, one of the things I tell people is have a field. Have a field and hold on to the field. What do I mean by field? Develop yourself in such a manner that one day somebody will be in Lagos, he needs something done. It's your name that comes to mind. Listen, I thank God for my life. What I'm going to say is this. Thank God for my field. Most places where people see me this, I listened to your message, it was a blessing. If they want to give out oil blocks in Abuja, they don't remember me. I hope you know that. And I don't want them to remember me. I am not, you'll be surprised when I say it, I am not interested. If they are giving a contract for who will build the next stadium, they won't remember me. And I don't want them to remember. Why should they remember me? Do I look like an architect? When I become a structural engineer. But if they say, the president needs somebody to teach him the principle of the scripture, they will remember me. Yes, they will. Somebody will remember me. Why? That's my field. That has become my field. In life, first thing before you start saying which one makes money, which one makes money. First thing, which one is my field? You grab that field and you're occupied with it until he comes. And you're occupied with that field until he comes. Tell your neighbor, your field. Be occupied with it. Tell somebody else, your field.
Be occupied with it.
Ask the person, do you know your field? Let's leave it there. Let's begin to give the Lord thanks. Let's just leave it there. Just give the Lord thanks. Say, Father, we thank you. Say, Lord, we thank you. Thank you for skill. Thank you because I know you are coming. Thank you because I know my transaction is processing. Let's quickly pray for this country. I just wanted to do that now before I got overtaken by it. Say,
in the name of Jesus,
peace upon this land.
In the name of Jesus.
Discipline in Nigeria. You know, I've been enjoying this one. Everywhere they fear the president. You know that? Every man they maintain. I like that thing. I say, one man. He's not a human being. He's God. He's not a man. It is God. He is the one that's using a man. But he's the one. We must never, that's my message actually, we must never mistakenly take our eyes away from him and put it on a man. Go back to the prayers we prayed for this country. You know, our prayer was, if I remember one, we said, if you will not promote peace and righteousness and security, Asura will reject you in Jesus' name. Remember that? We prayed that prayer. We did. We did. So election, vote for anybody you like, but nobody's winning this election this time if you will not promote this. So it's God. So let's remember to keep our eyes on him alone. So that if the current head of state leaves tomorrow, it doesn't mean anything. God will continue to do what he has already started. So let's declare again, say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Peace upon this nation.
Peace upon this nation.
Say it has come to pass.
It has come to
and
pass.
It will come to pass.
And it will come to pass.
That corruption will be a thing of shame.
That corruption will be a thing of shame.
In this nation.
In this nation.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Kaduna Refinery has started work. Can you believe that? By the end of the year, both Kaduna and Warri refineries will be working at least at 70% capacity.
Amen.
But amen, in Jesus' name. Amen. But I'm telling you what they have announced. Not the one we are prophesying. This is hope that we have seen. Yeah. When Alhaji Dangote now starts his own refinery, some people go to bath with fuel for Nigeria, say, I won't go bath, no water, give me kerosene. Give me kerosene there. Because what the man is planning to build is the largest singular refinery in the world. Yes, it's the singular largest at $16 billion. Father, he will build it in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Warri refinery will work in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Kaduna refinery will work.
Amen.
See, there's one in Port Harcourt, Abi. Port Harcourt will work in Jesus'
Amen.
Name. And these are our hospitals, they will walk in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, God has begun to bless this nation.
Yes.
And he has begun to bless you too.
Amen.
I feel like praying for you. In this nation, you will not be poor.
Amen.
You will not be poor.
Amen.
You will not lack.
Amen.
Your field will blossom.
Amen.
God will make all grace abound towards you. You will have all sufficiency in all things. And you will abound to every good work.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That your field, it will blossom.
Amen.
The skill you need to make it blossom, receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
He said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask. Quickly, I'll give you a minute. Ask, ask, ask. Just 1 minute, ask. That God, what do I do? What do I do? I need wisdom concerning how to do this, to move my business from one level to another. At this moment, faith is stirred up. Faith is stirred up. This is the time to ask and this is the time to receive. Say, Lord, I need the wisdom. I'm tired of struggling. I don't want to be hustling. I want to be walking with purpose. I want to be walking with wisdom. I want to walk with understanding. That wisdom to make your faith blossom, receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, it is given to you now.
Amen.
It is given to you now.
Amen.
I have an assignment for you. Once you get home, forget TV for today. Don't even eat too much. Collect a piece of paper. Go to one corner and begin to write. Because the Holy Spirit will give you inspiration concerning what you are to do. You have to write it down because you may wake up tomorrow morning and you are forgotten. Write it down. Write it, scribble it somewhere. You know, if they say check something on the internet, quickly check it. Write it down because the Holy Spirit will breathe upon you tonight and give you understanding, give you wisdom concerning how to move your field forward. You will receive it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
The only people that will not receive it, listen, are the ones who will go home and they will forget. They will tune television and be watching football that they are not paying them any money for. If anything, they are the ones paying to watch it. They are the ones that won't receive it. They will get home, they will say, I'm too hungry. They will eat so heavily, they will forget. They are the ones that won't receive it because they do not have any expectation. But I'm saying to you, if you will go home this night, just go to one corner. Take a piece of paper. Go to one corner. Don't talk to anybody. Greet no man on the way, he said. Just go to one corner and say, Lord, what is my wisdom? I need to move my field from one level to another. You will receive it this night in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Listen, you will be outstandingly successful in this life.
Amen.
No, the word is you will be outstandingly prosperous.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Please don't yap rich people again, no, because you're yapping yourself. Do you hear what I say? That's all these rich people. What are they doing with private jet? Your own will knock engine. Because you will get it. That your bad mouth, now your engine will spoil. But thank God to be on the ground. It won't crash. But you will prosper to that level in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Let me say it again. You will prosper to that level in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
There is no ancestral curse that's holding you back. Forget that thing. You have been redeemed in Christ Jesus. Well, go home and go and receive your wisdom. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Let's share the grace in fellowship.